Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Per Palm says, Zion run with the 40 chess Finkel trap. Well played. Is that sarcastic? In any case, the strategy of Texas and Florida is continuing to bus or send by plane migrants to various parts of the U.S. that vote for the federal policies that allow these migrants in, and that sometimes ties the ends of the state in terms of what they can do in terms of deportation. So if you cannot deport someone outside the U.S. because of the federal government and you're a state, you're looking at this as a problem, and you are dumping then your problems onto other states so that they can share the burden. It's Callum Oxworth says, this is just cringe PR to capture the Trump voter base. It is definitely a PR move. It is, there's some good to it, some bad. I think the general idea, like, basically it's the beginning of a interstate war. And for that, it's good. It's good that people are seeing the physical realization that, yes, the whole of American politics is basically a war between states. It's not so much the United States, it is the states trying to impose stuff on each other. That is what a federal government is, and that's why it always converges toward this. It's always a great injustice, and the federal government is always there to implement this injustice made, whether it's through something like Roe v. Wade, where a bunch of Democrat states are imposing a way of life on Republican states, or like this, where Republican states are dumping their troubles to states that, because they don't have to experience that much of a trouble with immigration, they keep voting left and left. Per Palm says, good evening, JF, and a good eve to y'all fine folks in the chat. Kind blessings to all. Thank you for being here. There is an argument in CNN opinion. The arch reality conservatives refuse to acknowledge. The writer is suggesting that there are moms rising, and that that women are flocking to register as voters like never before, and that we are headed toward a big victory for Democrats because women are pissed that the abortion question has been resolved by the Supreme Court. I'm not sure. I'll wait and I'll believe it when I see it. Because you've had the woman population has been voting very much for Trump in 2016. The woman population tends to bring the whole country toward more the left, but I'm not sure that they will be as triggered as is suggested here, and that this would mean a loss for the Republicans at the midterms. My thought is that they don't. It's not such a unanimous belief in the woman population that abortion is good and abortion should be available. It's still a controversial issue on which they are willing to be moved one way or the other. And there are lots of women who, to the contrary, they are very much extreme pro-life, because they have this feeling that it's their responsibility to care for human life. Go Away says, most women who are moms are fairly agnostic on abortion. Yeah, the left is trying to push this view that, oh, you've made your big error. And in a way, this is a spectacular subject on which CNN agrees with Curtis Yarvin. See, it's... What Curtis Yarvin was telling us with his dwarves and elves analogy is the dwarves have been going too strong this time. That you guys, the right-wingers, you've been revealing your end. You've been going too rough on the left, and now they will be revolted. That's also what CNN is trying to have us believe. So for someone who seems to be considering himself as a dissident thinker, who is not, in my view, very much, but perhaps he should ask himself, how is it that he's trying to convince us of the exact same thing as CNN at this point? That's a question for Curtis Yarvin. I don't buy it personally. I don't think there will be a movement against the Republican Party, and I don't think the Republican Party will be punished for the Roe v. Wade reversal. And let's not forget that the Roe v. Wade reversal is putting it back in the hands of the people. We have in the leftist media a shortcut that they're trying to make where, oh, well, the Republicans have banned abortion. Well, the Supreme Court of Republicans has allowed Republicans to ban abortions in certain places where people vote for that. That's very different from Republicans have banned abortion. Go Away says, is Curtis Yarvin going to update his Lord of the Rings analogy now that the Amazon series is out? The analogy doesn't work anymore because now there are black elves, black dwarves, black there's black people in every race. So how can you maintain that analogy anymore? I don't know. Stephen J. James says moldy bread is past its sell by date. Why was he called mold bug? That is something that's stunning to me, how anyone could choose that nickname. Martha's Vineyard. I didn't know what it was. Mama JF had asked me, what is Martha's Vineyard, JF, recently? And I had said, isn't this the company of a furniture woman who became billionaire by selling furnitures and Bed Bath and Beyond kind of crap? As it turns out, that's Martha Stewart, right? But I thought, okay, well, maybe Martha Stewart has a vineyard and it's Martha's Vineyard. But no, I realized today that Martha's Vineyard is an island. It's an island that you guys have in the US that is considered part of Massachusetts. And apparently, it's a place where rich people go to take vacations. So it's kind of upscale, up high price place. And amazingly, Ron DeSantis has decided to send about 50 migrants, I believe, 50 migrants that he didn't know what to do with in Florida. He has sent them by plane to Martha's Vineyard. At first, they were surprised, just like us. Martha's Vineyard responds to surprise arrival of plane loads of migrants. Venezuelan migrants filtered in and out of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church here Thursday morning as a dozen local volunteers prepared to serve breakfast. Most of the migrants, but not all, are young men in shorts and basketball caps. Oh, I love seeing a generalization in MSN.com. So basically, those are fighting age men. It's always what it is, the waves of migration. Females tend to be across our evolutionary times, and we can see it in the genes even up to today. That females are just traveling less. And so when you have a wave of migrants, it's the equivalent. 1,000 years ago, those guys would have been coming with swords and they would have tried to outsword us, and we would have had to defend our little castles and villages. But now they're coming, and we are in a modern society. They don't have to fight, but they get sent by plane to Martha's Vineyard. Eduardo, a 25-year-old undocumented migrant from Barquisimeto, Venezuela, set out almost 3 months ago. He said eventually he reached San Antonio, where he stayed in the San Pedro 7000 shelter for a week and a half, but authorities were going to be expelling them until he said he received word that he could go to Boston. So apparently, a lot of these migrants were told that they were going to Boston, but they ended up in the island of Martha's Vineyard. And we have seen a sudden shift of behavior in the Martha's Vineyard residents. They used to be leftist, you know. In this house, we believe Black Lives Matter, no human is illegal, science is real, love is love, kindness is everything. Now they have disappeared in the bush and they came back with a no trespassing sign. This property is protected by video surveillance. That may be the result of being exposed to the consequences of their own policies. Colin Oxworth says, why didn't he send them back to Venezuela if they're on the plane already? That is what I would do, but my understanding is perhaps it is not the right of states to do this, because immigration is a federal issue, and so if the federal government decides I'm keeping all these illegal migrants, but I'm going to delay their court hearing so long that basically it won't ever happen. And so you, the states, Florida, Texas, you're going to be stuck with a population of people who can't work. They can't legally work. And so they will either filter out through the systems of criminality or under the table employment. So basically the states have a big problem here. You have human beings. They are dependent. And the system is telling them you can't work, which I understand. I understand why we tell them they can't work. It's because we don't want to create an infinite flow of competition for our own citizens and our own workers. But it creates a humanitarian situation here because they are basically used as pawns by the federal government. Under Trump, there was a big pressure from Trump, successful or not. I would argue that it wasn't successful, but Trump was at least pushing and trying to get these court hearings as fast as possible so they can be deported. And when possible, he had also enacted a policy, which is Remain in Mexico policy, where, okay, maybe we're going to take a couple of months to process you and deport you, but while you wait, you're going to wait in Mexico. So that was good. But under Biden, I'm sure every possibility is tried to extend the stay and to make this a more painful process, which results in sometimes migrants being without status, without right to work, and without nothing, without anything for years. Go away. So the answer to your question is probably because the federal government is barring them from actual deportation. Go away, says JF. How will this practically play out? Surely there is no low-income housing in Martha's Vineyard where these people could actually settle long-term. Surely, I'm guessing. In fact, here's the person responsible for the homeless shelters who's saying, this is amazing, because you have liberals, like, I'm assuming she's an ultra liberal. She's running a homeless shelter, and she's coming to the same conclusion as you and I would come, which is they have to go elsewhere. Listen to this, because this is the kind of gold that this kind of PR opportunity was designed for. Let me see the sound here.
And everyone is jumping in to help. We literally have everything we need. I mean, we need for all of our guests to get the help they need to be in this country and safe and housing. And that's not something that we can do here at the shelter, right? We're a stopgap. This isn't.
Oh, so they can do it. There must be some other resources. We don't have the resources here. We're just trying to get people on the right track. But then, and so it's everyone's problem, and they're dumping it on each other's hands.
An emergency shelter. We're not long-term care. So, you know, everyone is meeting about this. There's multiple wheels that are turning and departments that are working together. I mean, it really is a community effort, and that community is, you know, from here to Boston, probably to the White House. So
what are the most difficult challenges right now?
The difficult challenges are
now here. This is the difficult challenge.
We have at some point in time they have to move from here to somewhere else.
this is the challenge. It's that, yeah, we're getting all these boxes of juice drinks to keep them alive for a week or two. But the big challenge is they have to go back. They have to go somewhere else. And that is so beautiful to hear from a woman who's probably a far leftist. So you've understood that it was an unsustainable situation and that they have to move somewhere else. The whole idea of Trump was that somewhere else is Venezuela. Because if you send them anywhere else in the US, the people there will say they have to go somewhere else. So at some point you have to iterate your thought. If you want them to be somewhere else, and they want them to be somewhere else, and they want them to be somewhere else, they have to go somewhere else where they won't come back for a long time. And the best place for that is Venezuela. Dino Logovich says, send them all to JF and Mama's house. No, they cannot come here. We don't have the resources at the moment. They have to go somewhere else. Florida Governor DeSantis sends two plane loads of illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. That's a policy where they target sanctuary cities because you have, it's very low cost for a Norton or for any really any state and any city that is not at the border with Mexico. It's very low cost for them to say we're a sanctuary city because the problem wasn't reaching them as hard as it's reaching Texas and Florida and California. But here they are being held to their own promise. You're a sanctuary city, so that means you have the resources to take them. So there you go, you get them. Now, there's definitely some negative to be said about this policy. I don't think it's a genius idea to be sending illegal migrants deeper into the U.S. But I get the thinking. From a local perspective, you get rid of the problem in Texas and Florida. I get it. But in terms of the overall commons, thinking of the U.S. as a whole, it's a very, very bad idea to be sending migrants that have already been determined to be illegal, to be here without papers, to be subject to deportation eventually. Very bad idea to allow them to come in places where they will be untraceable, basically. And you know... When you're at war with a phenomenon, sometimes you have to take action that exaggerates the phenomenon for a moment with the hope of fixing it later. It's a form of accelerationism, if you will. And it's within this rational process that you can accept the strategy as being good. But otherwise, what's the difference between them? In fact, here I'm going to make two metaphors. First, what's the difference between the migrant smuggler that helps them cross the border and the Ron DeSantis that makes them go deeper in the U.S. You are, with the knowledge of the illegality of the presence of this person on our territory, you are helping them get further. So is Ron DeSantis a migrant smuggler? To some extent, he is. And will that be sued as a crime? Probably not. But there's other speculation about what could be leading to prosecution in this case. And it is the idea that Gavin Newsom has been giving. And to be honest, before Gavin Newsom even came out with this, I was asking myself this yesterday. Is this kidnapping? Because I have a very low threshold for kidnapping. As far as I'm concerned, when the state is using intimidation and kind of convincing tactics to get you to do something, they are effectively kidnapping you and violating your consent. So to me, when for example, the state makes homeschooling illegal and then makes schooling a requirement, then they are effectively kidnapping your children on an everyday basis, every morning, when they bring them to public school. So if you don't have an opt-out, it is kidnapping as far as I'm concerned. And I was thinking, is it kidnapping to be telling these migrants first. Some of them appear to have been misinformed about where they were going. They were told, you're going to Boston. They ended up at Martha's Vineyard. Some of these migrants were told it will facilitate your obtention of a status for work. It's not the case. So promises may have been made that were deceptive. And anyways, when you are imprisoned and your choice is, well, do you want to be imprisoned or do you want to go to Martha's Vineyard? That in itself is an extortionate decision that we're asking them to make. So Gavin Newsom is asking the federal government to consider kidnapping charges after GOP governors ship migrants out of state. And given the current context of the federal judiciary being used to target Trump supporters, I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see a couple of cases stem, trying to make the case that this is somehow either in violation of kidnapping laws or of humanitarian principles. We might see this. And these governors, you know, they are big adults. They can make their decisions. I don't think they'll end up in jail necessarily, but I think they're going to try to give them as much trouble as they can, because from the perspective of the leftist imperialist federal bureaucracy, Ron DeSantis is potentially the next Trump, and they have a chance here at trying to hurt him even faster than they did Trump, because Trump, they waited and Trump got to be president. Here they would have an opportunity to potentially go after him with serious charges and make his life difficult and perhaps stop him, at least obtain a temporary order by a judge that would stop him from doing this. It's a potential development that will be following. Meanwhile, they've also shipped migrants to Kamala Harris' Washington, D.C. home, over 100 illegal migrants who were picked up in Eagle Pass, Texas, were dropped off outside Vice President Kamala Harris' residence at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. And so the cameras were there. It was an event. Again, it's PR, but it's PR that touches something. It forces these politicians to see the humanitarian consequences of what they do, and that's good. Dino Lugovich says, this is the issue with republics versus federal versus states' rights. What a can of worms. Oh, yeah, I mean, I, for one, am very anti-federalist. I really don't like federations. And systematically, federations, they fail at staying in their lane. You know, that there might be a little role for an overarching government, maybe in pooling, like pooling consenting states' desire to get a service. So if the states get together and they say, all right, we want a single diplomat because we don't care, so let's all get together and pay for a single diplomat. But to me, that should be the format of federal government. It should be point by point consented by the lower level. Just like, to me, the presence of an individual in a given state should be consensual point by point. That is, do you want trash services? Yes, well, you pay for trash services. Do you want public school? No, you don't want public school? Well, you don't pay taxes for public schools. That would turn the government into an efficient machine, just like capitalism. If I go at Walmart, I'm not pooling everything in my cart and getting out with it and paying a monthly fee. I'm paying if I want the Band-Aid, and I'm paying if I want the 70% alcohol, and I'm paying if I want the Diet Pepsi, and I'm paying for the amount that I'm consuming. We could turn the government in that format, and then I wouldn't mind that there's an overarching structure, because then that structure would be limited in its growth to the consent of the people below. but the federal governments, they end up taking a big tax base. They end up typically serving the population much less. So, for example, you'll have provinces in Canada. They are in charge of healthcare and public schools, which is a huge expense, while the federal government is just pumping money and delivering much less. That's a big problem. Go away, says JF. Do you believe in free movement between the states of the US? Well, I believe in free movement as long as we are under a United States, I guess. I wouldn't say no to a future United States where we don't have free movement, where basically a balkanization. I would love to see it happen, but for now, I understand that it is a country and you... I mean, somehow we are slowly moving away from free movement in the US. First, due to the fact that there are states that will start seeing this problem of immigration, and they will start perhaps having their own borders internally to the US. But also, we've seen the first developments in COVID, where certain states were basically saying, oh, well, our employees cannot travel to Texas because it's dangerous, or they were also saying people coming to New York, they have to have this New York Vax Pass, and that kind of thing we're seeing. Raised Fist says, Jeff, come on. Cheap people would refuse garbage collection to save a few dollars and their backyard would become a junkyard. Well, then you can have lawsuits, you know, if your backyard being a junkyard is depriving me of my property in the form of smells or something like this, then I can sue you. It's not the fact. You're tying two ideas in your head here that are separated. One, being obligated to keep a clean land is not in any way related to the fact that the state delivers the trash collection service. The state delivers the trash collection service because it's a monopoly that they've taken over. You can be in a society that has one but not the other. You can have an obligation to keep your land clean so that it doesn't environmentally destroy the lands of other people or their enjoyment of life. Yet that doesn't mean that the trash service must be given to everyone by the state. Some random bloke says, why on earth are DeSantis and Trump so pro-Israel / Zionist? It seems that no matter how much they try to appease them, it's never enough. And 80% of Jews don't vote for Republicans anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's a consequence of the funding system of American politics, which is overwhelmingly dominated by rich Jews. So that's... it's simple. They are like this because the money flow to them is such that a lot of it is tinted by Jewish interest, and the people who give them this money, they expect them to be very much pro-Israel in exchange. So it's a, like, how else would you want the American system of politics to converge when we see that more than 90% of the big, big, big donors to both parties are Jewish? The system is trapped. It cannot have an anti-Israel position in any way. Not even a slightly unfriendly position. It has to be slave to Israel's interests, because literally almost all of the money that they make is generated from Jewish donors. And then, yes, you have the problem that no matter how much you try to appease the Israeli lobby in the US, they won't be happy. They always want to, this is how Jews negotiate, and it's fine. It's fine to be like this. It's a skill to have, by the way, in car sales, in like exchanges and markets. If you sell a car, if you sell a stocks, that's exactly how you want to be. You want to be never satisfied. And I was, you wanted to buy the stock for $54? How about 57? Ah, 57. Okay. How about 59? So that is the result of a combination of how the Jewish people approaches exchanges and donations, and how these particular billionaires who are Jewish are imposing their own political preferences on American politicians. And there's nothing to gain other than money. That's the problem. You won't gain their vote. As you say, you know, Jewish journalists and Jewish billionaires have been going after Trump, no matter how much he would kneel for Israel. So it's never enough, because when you are in a state of constant marketing, constant, I want to get more for what I have, when you are specialized in merchant activities, you adopt this cognitive mood of never being satisfied. Whereas you and I, you know, I'm not a man of merchantry. I'm not a man who could survive in selling material that I buy and selling it at a profit. It's totally foreign to my brain. And I assume a lot of you guys in the audience are just like me on this. We are people who are more about promises, about the building of friendships, about, all right, I'm going to let you be whoever you want to be. And here's some money because I like what you've been doing up to now. The way we donate to politics is very different from the way the Israel lobby is donating to politics. They expect missiles sent to Syria for every dollar they give. John Drake says, free private cities making governments compete for you by Titus Gebel gives us the answers to how we should govern. Yeah, that sounds very good. I didn't know about this guy, but it sounds like a very good project. Migrants who illegally entered the U.S. deserve a lot better than
being left on the streets of D.C. or being left in Martha's Vineyard.
They deserve better than being left on Martha's Vineyard. Well, I may never be left on Martha's Vineyard. I may be expelled if I try to go there. I think it's a pretty luxurious destination for them. I think they're going to be okay. But see, everyone is talking about else. They deserve something else. They need to go somewhere else. Yes. That's what everyone is saying. That's what the Republicans have been saying. That's what the anti-immigration people have been saying. They have to be somewhere else. But if everyone agrees that they have to be somewhere else, that somewhere else must be outside of the U.S. FedEx plunges to 2 years lows after withdrawing earnings guidance. First quarter results were adversely impacted by global volume softness that accelerated in the final weeks of the quarter. FedEx Express results were particularly impacted by macroeconomic weakness in Asia and service challenges in Europe, leading to a revenue shortfall in this segment of approximately $500 million relative to company forecasts. FedEx Ground revenue was approximately $300 million below company forecast. Wow. It's a tough business. There's competition, and you're making a little bit of money per package. You have to maintain this whole fleet of trucks, drivers, people who must be fed, gas prices. All of it is hitting hard on those delivery systems. Who is Jim says, can we ship people to black neighborhoods? I hear they get along well. I mean, that would be the follow-up. I guess that would be the logical conclusion, because black populations vote a lot Democrat. And so if you want to send immigrants to whoever is voting Democrat, black populations could be a place to send them. Jewish organizations clash over teaching white privilege. This is amazing. It's a Jewish organization complaining that another Jewish organization for pushing white privilege means. The Zionist Organization of America has called for the firing of the Anti-Defamation League's CEO. Now, the ADL has already made a mea culpa on teaching white privilege and CRT stuff. But it seems that it's not enough. You now have the Zionist Organization of America that is asking that he gets fired. So we have a Jew war here within the Jewish population. Interesting. Let it happen and let's see what happens. But ultimately, this demand that they do is kind of subversive to a certain extent. Because even if you take the ADL and you remove CRT teachings and white privilege teaching, first, the reason this is being done is that is an argument that we've been making in 2016, 2017, the right wing of the internet. We've been saying to leftists who were criticizing us that we had privilege, we were saying, hey, look at another population that seems to have privilege. And in fact, much of it seems to pass as white privilege. Jews. They are overrepresented in the Supreme Court, in control positions in the media, in management of companies, in very big companies. So basically, the talk of white privilege has eventually turned against the Jewish people because it became undeniable that basically the big critique of white privilege sums up to a critique of Jewish populations in power, in power in the media and in power in corporate management. So it backfired in a way. So them coming back and now saying, okay, let's keep all those leftist themes but remove white privilege is like, let's take all of the anti-white hate and keep it, but let's remove this one because it's putting us in trouble. So I don't trust that this is an awakening of Jewish thinkers in general to understanding that their anti-white approach is misguided. It's really not this. It's more a subversive attempt at boiling the frog slower and at saying, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, ADL. Keep hating on white people, but don't tell them white privilege because this will get back at us. That is what I perceive in this request. My friends laughed because I kept my 1970s thermostat when I bought a new furnace. They laughed more when I said that it never needs a battery and can't be controlled by the government. Several states just disabled thousands of smart residential thermostats remotely. Guess who's laughing now? Beautiful. This is exactly what we have also. We have a manual physical thermostat, me and Mama JF, that's controlling our heating. Even if you had directed microwaves, you just couldn't push the button. You have to access it physically to move the threshold of temperature and to determine what kind of heating is happening in my house. It's potentially a new trend, the not smart, where in a world that becomes too smart-oriented to Internet of Objects, there will be weaknesses. We've seen governments starting to give people emergency messages. We've seen people getting shut down. We've seen also just a network problem in California at Google Corp. Shuts down your lights because your lights are dependent on Google Home to turn on. So that kind of problem will be more frequent, and I guess people will realize the value of independence in your whole existence, in your whole homestead. Woketopia in law enforcement, Philly feds training local PA police, blow up assembly at SCI Phoenix, a local state prison in a Dem-controlled Montco Pennsylvania. So FBI Philadelphia was announcing they were making a practice with explosive equipment that were training devices. They were not meant to explode. They were just trying to train their employees to handle explosives, and there was an explosion, apparently an accidental explosion. Several technicians were wounded, and they have been transported to area hospitals for treatment. They will investigate what was the cause of the detonation. Just kidding, U.S. denies plan to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve with sub-$80 oil. In March, the U.S. government authorized the release of 1 million barrels of oil from the SPR over a period of 6 months per day. Earlier this week, there were rumors that the U.S. administration may start refilling the SPR when oil prices fall below $80. The U.S. Department of Energy has quashed those rumors, asserting that there is no trigger price and the SPR won't be refilled anytime soon. Yeah, I mean, certainly they will at some point refill it whenever the price is good, but this may be never. Shrigidum Fungus says, imagine being such a moron. You get a smart fridge that tracks your food and automatically buys it when you run low. Literal human auto-domestication. Oh yeah, I mean, this is one of these features that I don't want. I cannot believe that people want this. You want a fridge that scans when you put a lettuce in, and then it decides, okay, you've eaten enough lettuce, I'm ordering an Amazon lettuce. That is insane to me, to abandon this aspect of humanity, which is to make your own decisions, especially as it relates to food. I find this scandalous. I cannot imagine that a human would want this. Some random bloke says, hey Jeff, aren't the Zionist Organization of America right-wing? Martin Klein, their president, opposes BLM and he uses racial... okay, I don't know what he uses in terms of slurs. But yeah, I mean, this is a trend that we must recognize. There are a bunch of center-right Jewish people and thinkers like Sam Harris. I wouldn't even say Sam Harris is center-right, but he pairs very well with them in that he has the same symptoms, which is he's capable of understanding the dangers, but of specifically Muslim immigration, but he's totally blind to the rest. And it's a little bit what we are being served with the Zionist Organization of America or any of these other center-right alternatives to mainstream media. We are being misdirected to care about immigration from a certain angle, but not others. And so, yes, I'm sure there are people like him who oppose BLM genuinely. But when you look down at what does it boil down to, it boils down to America will have a replacement of white populations, but not by Arabs. Well, this was already what's happening. America, one moment. America is already headed for a replacement of white populations by Hispanic population. This is what's happening. And the drifting toward the left is caused by, well, first the vote of women, the vote of minorities, the vote of big town centers, and the increase of the Hispanic population. So you want to be a center-right strong against Arab immigration. That's not enough. It's you are wearing blindfolds, and we can see through your blindfolds that you are essentially thinking the world from an Israeli-centric perspective. We can see it because the simple fact that you care so much about Arab immigration and terrorism and whatever, those are all issues of Israeli life. They are not the current issues that we should discuss about demographic stability in the U.S. Go Away says, didn't Sam Harris say that he would vote for Biden if he could have an underage sex party with Hunter Biden? That's not exactly what he said. He said, I wouldn't care if Hunter Biden had skeletons of children in his basement, which is almost just as bad. Dino Legovic says, I never liked Sam Harris, only watched 10 minutes and knew what a poor tinker he was. John Drake says, Chinese, JF, they will be coming in the masses. It's already happening. I mean, that is another problem. That is another problem. No, the U.S. is not living it as much as, say, Australia, but it is a problem to be considered, definitely. Sexually transmitted diseases. Although, you know, today I was surprised because there was, in the debate section of our Discord server, there was a fundamental argument made by Fadam for dating Asian women. Fadam is arguing, let me scroll up to his core argument. Fadam is saying, I've been thinking about this recently, William, and I'm thinking it's time to punish white women by having sex with Asians. I find this absolutely beautiful, that the level of autism in my Discord, in our audience here, that I've cultivated a community that is not just saying, hey, let's have sex with Asian women because they're beautiful. No, they're looking for the deeper reason. They're thinking strategically, all right, the Western women have become too feminist. We need to have some sort of leverage. The artificial uterus is not yet available, so we have no choice. We must have sex with Asians. I find this absolutely beautiful that that we have reached this degree of self-justification. We have here an intellectual argument for yellow fever, and it all stemmed from my community. I am absolutely proud. Sexually transmitted diseases surged in 2021, CDC reports. Cases of STDs in the U.S. increased during the pandemic, with syphilis cases experiencing the highest surge in nearly 7 years. The preliminary data covering cases for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and congenital syphilis last year showed an increase in all four types. All right. Well, let's be careful. And the best protection against STDs is monogamy. Just have a single mate. And once you have sex with the person once, it's not going to get worse with time. Dino Rogovic says, wow, I thought radiocarbon dating... What? I'm not going to read the rest because I'm not sure exactly what you mean and what degree of comedy you're meaning in your statement, but it made me laugh, Dino Rogovic. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way of receiving support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link is in the description below. Make sure if you want to send an Odyssey super chat to add a payment method in your Odyssey account. How Bill Gates and partners used their cloud to control the global COVID response with little oversight. I love this because it's coming from Politico, and from their perspective, Bill Gates is not evil for pushing vaccines, which are absolutely amazing. It's just evil because Bill Gates is a private man. He's not doing it hands in hands with the government. He is spending a lot of money on parallel societal control lines. that are not government approved, and that's the issue they take as leftists. But here's an issue in which leftists and right-wingers may be walking hand in hand. You know, they're annoyed at these global non-governmental organizations because they don't have the veneer of official government. We're annoyed at it because they're just systems of control, government or not. So I guess we can walk hand in hand with the left on this issue. It was politics that drove the science. The science doesn't drive health policy. The policy drives the science. Most academic scientists spend a lot of time writing grants that have very little chance of being funded because the funding environment is so competitive. Many scientists feel pressure to emphasize the most positive, sensational results they can produce. Some academic scientists take this too far by ignoring conflicting results or even fabricating data. And yes, it's not just in the COVID case that politics drives the science. Politics has an overarching control over almost all science funding at this point because all of it comes from the state. And even if it's not funded in the sense, oh, it's a Democrat ID, let's fund it. It's not as simple as this. But when you are putting all this money into the hands of senior scientists and saying, all right, you guys decide who we fund, you end up with a certain science. A science that is tainted by the dirt of bureaucracy and technocracy. And so that's how you end up with a whole field all believing that climate change is this and it must have been caused by this. That's how you end up with fields where a discovery like the revolutionary phenotype is not even acknowledged yet. That's how you end up in a field that goes slow because, as it was said by a Quebec comedian, Saul, if you pay them for doing research, they're not incentivized at finding the truth. As long as you pay them to research, they have no interest in finding. The Lancet opens Pandora's box, suggests COVID could have originated in the in US labs. That's interesting because the Lancet was the one publishing the whole opinion letter that was saying, no, COVID comes from nature. And now they're like at another extreme of the conspiracy theory that it wouldn't have emerged in a Chinese lab. It would have emerged in a US lab. That's interesting. And we should never forget that it's a possibility. There's been a lot of US funding of genetic research. There's been a lot of modifications of viruses. Technically and officially, gain-of-function research is not legal in the U.S., but who knows? They may have tried it. We have the tools to do it, so they may have tried it in private and, you know, without reporting it officially. Let's not forget that our only chain of causality that attributes this to China is the fact that we started talking about this virus emerging in Wuhan, which leads to an interesting correlation because Wuhan has this virology institute where it's very likely that such a virus could have been worked on. But let's not forget that the Wuhan work was funded by the US and collaborated along with US researchers like Ralph Baric. So let's not forget that it's not impossible and it's definitely within the set of realistic hypotheses to think the virus would have been produced in a US lab, started infecting the population, but no one cared enough to notice. And let's not forget that COVID is a relatively inconsequential disease for most people who will get it. So it starts circulating in the population, and we know that there's been international games in Wuhan, bringing American populations to compete in Wuhan against Chinese population. You could have very well had a major transfer of a of a significant enough amount of populations that one of them would have carried the virus into China. So I would not reject this hypothesis at all. I guess what's missing is would be genetic data that is focused enough that we could say, all right, really, this virus wasn't in the US before November. But I don't think we have that kind of data. I don't think we do enough genome sequencing out of nowhere, you know, randomly, that would allow us to positively affirm this. Perhaps the first known cases of COVID in the US are not the first cases at all. It may have been circulating for a while before this. When driving tires emit pollution, and EVs make the problem worse. So an article that discusses the fact that tires, when they roll on the road, they are emitting some toxins. I mean, they're basically getting dissolved progressively and broken in dust by the road. And apparently, electric vehicles are worse on this front because they are heavier. And because they are heavier, there's more friction and you lose more of the tire. So we're going to have to start accounting for these emissions. They say there's the carbon emission, but then there are other forms of emission, including what's contained in tire. They call it rubber, but it's not real rubber, whatever the tires are made of. The stage is being set for a massive global rice shortage. This wasn't supposed to happen. For months, I've been writing article after article about the rapidly growing global food crisis. But even though drought is devastating so many other crops, I thought that there would be plenty of rice in 2023. Unfortunately, I was wrong. India usually accounts for over 40% of all worldwide rice shipment, and they have banned exports of broken rice and imposed a 20% duty on exports of various grades of rice on Thursday. So there might be a rice shortage. I don't think it impacts me directly, but I think indirectly it will impact all of us if that happens, because there's just so many population that are, it's a heavy item on their diet. They are using, it's basically their source of calorie. And if you have a rice shortage, I don't know what happens. All hell breaks loose. Valet says they will tax you for every pube that flakes off your scrotum if you allow them to. Definitely. Here's something they wanted to tax people for. A soda tax. But the Philadelphia soda tax completely backfired. So they tried to make this tax in of 1.5 cents per ounce of sugary drinks. So I don't know. I tried to find, does that include Diet Pepsi? Because that's not a sugary drink. It's the simulation of sugar. I'm enjoying the sugar of my Diet Pepsi in the same way. In the same way, in Westworld, they are enjoying, you know, having sex in a virtual universe. It's not real sugar. It's really an illusion of sugar for my mouth. So I guess I wouldn't be taxed. I hope so. But in any case, the tax didn't work because people started buying more sugary drink outside the city. And so there's a 4% rise in the sales of the outlets just outside the city to avoid the tax. And also, there was a corresponding rise in people buying other sources of sugar that didn't fall under the taxation basis. So it's like they needed sugar. You tax the Pepsi, they buy something else that has sugar in it, but that's not taxed. So basically, a complete failure of taxation. Ballot says, large double-double, that will be double tax for the usage of 2 packets of sugar. No tax on the sugar-free coffee. Just you wait, because sugar causes climate change. All of this is true. All of this is true. By the way, yesterday people were asking me, tell us more about why you love Westworld. I've now been watching 2 seasons of Westworld. I understand that the second season is not as perfect as the first, but I still think it's a very high quality. Very much enjoyed Westworld. I will be beginning the season 3. Now people are telling me season 3 is bad. So we'll see how bad it is. But man, I love it. It's about cognition. It's about the definition of self. It's about embedded world. It's about some people choosing to go the virtual route. Some people choosing to want something more real than the reality in which they're stuck. And this is what I've admired with Christopher Nolan movies. And this is a Jonathan Nolan teleseries. It's the bilateral embedded system. See, when Christopher Nolan's in Inception shows you 2 sets of mirror, and then you have Leonardo DiCaprio look, or the girl, or both of them looking one way, and there's an infinity of systems to the left because they all reflect the system to the right, and then you look on the right and it reflects all of the infinity of the embedded fractal on the left. Those are bilateral embedded systems, and again, Westworld is one. Westworld is one case of a bilateral system where there's a choice to go more virtual or less virtual. Also, they have done something that I've been wanting for Matrix, but that didn't happen in Matrix. They have been doing a revolution. So I've always wanted to see in Matrix the sense of things invert. Like, what is framed as Matrix from the first movie is there's reality and then there's the virtual world that is Matrix. But what if you learned in Matrix 4 that what you thought was true is not true, and that really the Matrix world is the real world, and they created a virtual world that is the humanity we live in and the planet Earth we live in. And what if basically this dirty world with robots, that is the base reality? They've not done it in Matrix, but they've done it in Westworld. They are questioning who are the real humans. And ultimately, in Westworld, they are totally Darwinian. So basically, whoever is left alive is what matters. That is something that I really like about Westworld. It's that they have remained faithful to a Darwinian conception. Ultimately, the humans are robots. The robots are robots. Everything is a robot. Everything is a mechanism. And the dialogues of Anthony Hopkins are super clear on this. Sansom says, oh no, JF is analyzing Matrix themes. He obviously didn't prepare for today's show. I mean, I had plenty of news and we're already 1 hour in. I could conclude. But I just realized that I didn't sufficiently answer the super chat last night. So those are the aspects of Westworld that to me are fascinating. John Drake says, JF, your idea about Avatar is the best. Yes, I agree. I think that I decoded Avatar and it's still on my YouTube channel. I was checking out my YouTube channel, which I've not published on for many months now. The Avatar analysis that I've done is still there, among the last available videos, you know. Yeah, Avatar is a 2-layer embedded virtual world. And the beginning is not even in the real world. It was already a virtual bridge. And then he went deeper into Pandora, the planet Pandora. That was another layer of virtual embedding. That is my conclusion. And Westworld is basically superior to Avatar in exploring these themes. Westworld is very good. Another reason I like Westworld, the music. The music is powerful. I've checked who was responsible for the music, and it's a different name than Tenet. But definitely there's a link between the music of Tenet and the music of Westworld. It is powerful inverted sounds, very bass, like lots of bass, like these enormous tubes are boom, 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 boom. That is so powerful in terms of music. And then on top of this big tube, windy pipes sounds, you have a lot of piano, a lot of classics, a lot of extremely emotional, the kind of classic that I like soft piano, but clever. And the whole piano theme is very much recovered in the visuals also, because the whole show is based around mechanization. And there's the idea of a piano playing itself, where they have, you know, these old piano that had... You could write apparently some holes on a piece of paper and the piano would play it as different notes, and you could write an entire piece of music on the paper roll and the piano would just automatically play it. And there's this whole idea of are we mechanism? If we were a mechanism, would that be dramatic? Could we be anything else than a mechanism? And if we are a mechanism, then what's the difference between a machine and us? We are machines built for our own survival. The only difference is that the machines up to now have not been designed for their own survival. Sansom says, if he wants to discuss a show that would be a better show, UK Utopia. Westworld isn't that deep. Westworld is the deepest. Bro, no, I fully defend Westworld as the deepest exploration of all cognitive themes around existence, machines, virtual worlds, hedonism. It is the absolute peak, 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 peak. Westworld is powerful. Westworld is, by the way, the only ever... video artifacts produced by America in the entire history of cinema and TV that explores in a fictitious manner the idea of the theory of mind of eliminativism. The idea that the mind is an illusion and that the mind doesn't even exist. That there's a set of loops in your brain that are organized to send you on a feeling, and then, oh yeah, maybe you can send another loop that questions that feeling. Anthony Hopkins in Westworld describes eliminativism. And to me, that is, as someone who enjoys cognitive themes and the theory of mind, I was blown away to see a major production go as deep as this. Sansom says, wait till the JF gets to the Cowboys versus Marines battle. He can analyze the depth of that scene. I mean, I fell in love so much with Westworld that I think I may be able to defend anything. But because I can see, like, there's definitely, like, a placement of women and black people in Westworld that in another movie I could have criticized. But in Westworld, it works. Because in Westworld, the female is an asexual robot. So she's not a woman being taken to be put forward, you know, in the way we take people through affirmative action. No. In Westworld, the female who is taking leadership and being a warrior-like character eventually in season 2, it's okay that she's like this because she's not a true female. And the black guy who is super intelligent and an engineer, it's okay that he's like this because he's a machine anyway. So his black skin is not linked to the normal features of a black human being. DK Shadow says, They got you, Jeff. They found your exploit. If everything is virtual, then it's all CPUs. If it's all CPUs, then it's not a real woman you're looking at. It's not a real black man you're looking at. See, when you put things in fiction like this, yes, it's my exploit. Yes, you have found, because if our society was to create virtual worlds or robots or kind of fictitious spaces, they would imbue these fictitious spaces with the fictitious biases and the fictitious desires to equalize everything that we have in society. So in a way, it's all justified. The teleseries is self-justifying in the sense that they can do more because they're in a world of robots. Dino Legovic says, how much are the Nolans paying you, JF? They're not. And I am in awe in front of the work of the Nolans. It is the most beautiful thing. The series of movies about embedded systems by Christopher Nolan and Westworld, those are the top things I've been exposed to in my life. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, hey, JF, with the Camp of the Saints scenario now happening to the West, how on earth will Israel survive in the long run? If the US and Europe fall, then the Third World will try and get to Israel, and flooding a tiny country with hundreds of millions of people. I've commented on this yesterday. Weren't you the one asking me this question yesterday? Maybe it was someone else. But yeah, my comment yesterday was that in the absence of a US technological superiority and economical superiority, I don't see Israel surviving very long without becoming a Muslim nation. So there's just the numbers eventually get down to you, and you can fight against the numbers through superb technological superiority. But as eventually that will go away. And so, yes, I expect that Muslims' populations will be successful at conquering more of their current territories they have. Quite. Since $21, he says, JF, since you don't watch movies from before you were born, doesn't that mean you will never watch the 1973 movie Westworld? I will watch it, because then I've heard, then you guys have told me through the comment section that Westworld was a movie from 1973. And apparently it's not, the teleseries is not a reproduction of that movie, but apparently in Westworld there is a robot who's being some kind of a cowboy. So very interesting. That means that it was truly a seed of inspiration for this teleseries. And I will have to watch it, although I'm sure I will hate it, because there is not a good movie before 1984, I'm telling you. Report: Facebook spied on messages of conservatives questioning the 2020 election, sent them to the FBI. How evil can you become, Facebook? To go into people's DM just because you can? Mike Lindell is speaking out after the FBI seized his phone. Okay, the oppression continues. And a last news item before we close the show. Greenpeace intensifies campaign against Bitcoin following Ethereum's merge. So apparently the Ethereum merge occurred. I didn't feel the ground shaking, so I assume that the Ethereum blockchain is now on their new proof of stake system. I don't know. Will this improve my fees? Because it gets pretty ridiculous, the fee system of ETH when you are in a bull run. Greenpeace is complaining that Bitcoin should switch to a proof of stake to save the planet. And I think those are very good points that were made by a software analytics firm, MicroStrategy. First, Bitcoin uses extra electricity. We're not producing electricity for Bitcoin. Bitcoin people want to just use electricity when it's cheap, and therefore they target parts of the day and moments where the electricity company would basically be wasting that electricity anyways. Also, Bitcoin represents, well, the whole emissions of carbon on Earth are 99.85% not Bitcoin related. So Bitcoin is really a drop in the ocean in terms of the consumption of carbon. And also, I would point out another point in addition to those, we don't have a proper accounting of how physical banks are energetically massively costly. We don't realize that every time you have a physical bank, you will have a physical cashier. She will drive to her job every morning. She will consume fuel to get to her job. The whole building will be filled with bureaucrats and cashiers and all. All of this consumes a lot of carbon that doesn't get included. Bitcoin, in comparison, is just, it's just per virtual bit, just costing very little to humanity compared to what it delivers. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And if you'd like to support the show on a regular basis, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. We will have our private hangout. Let me check here what could be a good day for the private hangout. Let's do it Saturday night in 2 days from now. Private, let's see, private Patreon and Subscribestar hangout at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the 17th. That's in 2 days from now. Let's do it. Join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level if you'd like to be part of the conversation. Shrigmamel sends 5 LBC. Shrigmamel is this man who's been talking to us in many Ask Me Anythings, and he was looking for a female. He had misadventures. I remember a story with a female that had red flags like tattoos. He says, I have found woman love home-cooked meals. I had to start dating again. Well, I'm glad that you are dating, and if you have woman eating your home-cooked meals, you are on a roll, and that's working well. You will find a woman at some point. And yes, woman love, if you can show your talents in terms of cooking. Mama JF, you know, when I prepare her a ribeye steak with my very, very high quality sauce made with wine, beef broth that she has fabricated herself, vinegar, and all sorts of spices, fresh spices and French onions, or how do they call it, French shallots, she really likes it. So yes, women are detecting your quality genetically by if you can produce a good plate that they enjoy. So definitely a good strategy. Much love and good luck, Shrigmamel. You're going to find someone. Bye-bye.